Morning news on KSTK is supported in part by Wrangell Insurance. Boats can be an investment. The agents at Wrangell Insurance can help you protect your vessel. Wrangell Insurance can be reached at 907-874-2359 or on the web at www.p-wins.com.
Current weather conditions in Wrangell. Light rain, 43 degrees out. Today, scattered showers, mostly cloudy with highs near 53. South wind, around 5 miles per hour, becoming west in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Tonight, scattered showers, mostly cloudy with lows around 44. West wind, around 5 miles per hour, becoming north in the evening. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Tuesday, isolated showers before 1 p.m., partly sunny with highs near 59, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday, mostly sunny with highs near 62, west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, rain likely mainly before 4 p.m., cloudy with highs near 58, chance of precipitation is 60%. Friday, mostly sunny with highs near 58. Saturday, partly sunny with highs near 60. Sunday, chance of rain, mostly cloudy with highs near 58. And moving on to our regional report, the city of Soldotna recently adopted a master plan for its riverfront redevelopment project, a multi-year plan to create a walkable and business-friendly area along the Kenai River. The plan is several years in the making. KDLL's Hunter Morrison has more on the budding project.
During the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District's Industry Outlook Forum late last month, the city gave an update on its vision to bring a multi-use thoroughfare downtown. The long-awaited project stems from the city's 2015 Downtown Improvement Plan, which had the goal to bring Soldotna to the river. The project site is located on 85 acres between Soldotna Creek Park and the David Douthit Veterans Memorial Bridge over the Kenai River. In 2022, the city received a grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration to design a plan for the revamp. The plan got the green light in February and is currently seeking an implementation manager. John Zarneski is Soldotna's Director of Planning and Economic Development. He says before construction can begin, the city needs to update street and maintenance codes and conduct feasibility studies.
There's a lot of things that are going to be happening that aren't necessarily brick and mortar. I would say probably the most exciting thing that may happen is that we'll look at where we have existing city infrastructure and city land that we might be able to make some advances.
The project will add multi-use streets to the area, connecting the Sterling Highway to new parks, businesses, and homes the project will bring. It'll also make current roads like Binkley Street and Kobuk Street more walkable to the downtown area. Additionally, the project will create a public gathering area similar to Soldotna Creek Park. Trails and boardwalks will connect both parks to the river and the rest of the development. The gathering area will be adjacent to one of the new roads and be a stone's throw from new potential bars and restaurants.
What we want to do is create land uses that are going to attract private investment and provide community benefits. The main thing in that is that it would offer a place for people to gather, similar to Soldotna Creek Park, but just in a different location with a different feeling and with a slightly different purpose, in that it would also serve businesses that would be located in that same area.
One feature of the project could bring a public market to an underutilized area adjacent to Soldotna Creek Park. The three-story building would have meeting rooms, offices, common areas, and spaces to support small businesses or restaurants. It'll also sport scenic views of the Kenai River. Zarneski says over 20 years, the project will cost about $200 million to construct, but should generate nearly $300 million for the local economy.
The major finding was that for every $1 that the city spends on the construction of infrastructure yields an additional $5.30 in development. This really is, pretty powerful as far as economic stimulus, this investment that the city potentially can make. And it really can leverage additional funds and other investments.
Zarneski says the revamp should create over 2,000 jobs and generate over $100 million in labor income. Before construction of the project can take place, it first needs management staffing and an oversight committee.
My favorite aspect, I think, is generally the fact that it moves Soldotna away from a car-centric downtown, one that's more pedestrian-oriented, where people can walk around, go from shop to shop, can take the dogs for a walk and stop for a coffee, can get dinner or some entertainment, all within a walkable environment in downtown where people feel comfortable and safe. It'll be a transformation for Soldotna in that sense.
Czarnecki says the redevelopment project will create Alaska's first riverfront downtown. For more information about the project, visit soldotnariverfront.org. In Soldotna, I'm Hunter Morrison.
And in more regional news, what is affordable housing and why doesn't Sitka have more of it? At Tuesday night's assembly meeting on May 14th, Sitka Tribe of Alaska Communications Director Robin Sherman and Sitka Planning Director Amy Ainsley presented a report on affordable housing that attempted to answer those questions and explore possible approaches the city could take to addressing the problem. Sherman said the average price of a home in Sitka is now over $500,000, which is out of reach for Sitka's median income earners.
A Sitka household earning that median income of about $95,000 is going to struggle with the monthly cost to own this house, especially if it needed repairs. Without paying more than 30% of your income toward housing costs, you'd need a household of income of about
And that's always fun. So sorry, folks. Today's been quite the day, hasn't it? So I'll just read the quote. A Sitka household earning that median income of about $95,000 is going to struggle with the monthly cost to own this house, especially if it is needed repairs. Without paying more than 30% of your income toward housing costs, you'd need a household of an income of about $140,000 a year to afford that average price home in Sitka. And that's assuming you're eligible for the state home ownership subsidy program, which starts to phase out around that level of household income depending on household size. Sherman said a $342,000 house would be more in reach for someone making the median income, but houses in that range are tough to come by or build in Sitka. Ainsley said that's due to a few things: lack of infrastructure, lack of available land, and the high cost of development.
We live in a very high cost environment. As we know, everything, you know, we're an island community. Everything that comes in has to be flown in or barged in. Cost of living is high, which also means that cost of labor is high. And so that high cost environment sort of begets itself and creates more and more of that high cost environment for itself.
Sherman and Ainsley noted that several organizations in Sitka are trying to find solutions to the affordable housing crisis. The Sitka Community Land Trust is working on the second group of cottages in its first affordable housing community and has won grant funding to build a fourplex. The Baranoff Island Housing Authority is constructing an eightplex and extending Herb Diedrichson Street to open up new lots for tribal citizens. And the Sitka Homeless Coalition is building a tiny home community for unhoused Sitkins. The city has also commissioned a study of city-owned land to identify opportunities for housing development.
So we do have some new subsidized housing in the pipeline as well as some other development. Believe it or not, Sitka is actually building more housing than any other region of the state, with the exception of the Mat-Su.
Mayor Stephen Eisenbeis thanked them for the work they had done so far to break down a challenging problem.
In a way, it's a good thing that it's not just a Sitka issue, but it's a hard thing that it's not just a Sitka issue. I kind of wish it was, because then there would be some way we could solve this, however this.
Oh, man, folks, I am so sorry. Sometimes it's just a Monday. So Stephen Eisenbeis says, in a way, it's a good thing that it's not just a Sitka issue, but it's a hard thing that it's not just a Sitka issue. I kind of wish it was, because then there would be some way we could solve this. However, when the nation is going through the exact same things, it makes it a little bit harder. So thank you for looking into the keys of Sitka. And maybe we can unlock some of those doors to help provide our citizens housing. Sherman said the Sitka Tribe of Alaska will focus on affordable housing in a June work session with BIHA. BIHA, the first meeting of the Sitka Housing Network, will convene later this year. You can view the full presentation attached to this story on our website at kstk.org. And in other news, the city and borough of Sitka is out over $60,000 after a cyber scammer intercepted a payment intended for a contractor. Last fall, a cyber attack targeted a city contractor. According to a press release issued by the city, the scammer submitted a request for the city to change the contractor's banking information. The request appeared legitimate, so CBS staff approved the change and submitted a $62,795 payment to the account. Once the incident was discovered, the city informed the bank and made efforts to recover the funds, but so far only $4,000 has been retrieved. In an email, Government Relations Director Melissa Weilman told KCAW that after a consultation with the city's attorney and assembly, staff decided against filing an insurance claim to avoid jeopardizing its deductible. The contractor has since been paid for their services. In response to the attack, the city will add new security protocols to reduce its vulnerability to future cyber attacks. According to the release, payment to vendors will likely become more complicated in the future as a result of the additional steps. Sitka wasn't the only southeast city that fell victim to the same scam. Earlier this month, $625,000 was stolen from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough after funds for a contractor were wired to a fake vendor account instead. That wraps up our regional report. Stay with us for Wrangell's community calendar right after Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. For people who cook on a gas stove, it may be hard to imagine frying an egg or searing a steak without those familiar blue flames. But acclaimed chef Justin Lee says there's an alternative worth considering, an electric induction stovetop.
There is a learning curve without question because there's no visible fire, but it's not something you should be afraid of.
Lee is co-owner of Fat Choi, a Chinese vegan restaurant in Englewood, New Jersey. He says he loves cooking with induction. Unlike conventional electric stoves, induction cooktops use electromagnetic energy to heat the metal in a pot or pan, providing quick, consistent heat at precisely the temperature you need. And Lee says it can provide even higher temperatures than gas, which can be useful for Chinese cooking.
We're always searching for this breath of the dragon, also known as wok hei. It's kind of the flavor, that smokiness that comes from cooking with a high-heat wok burner.
He says induction cooktops are also easy to clean. They're better for air quality because you're not burning gas. And they help the climate because they're efficient and can be powered by clean electricity. So Lee gives a chef's kiss to induction. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
KSTK is supported by GCI, providing a redundant fiber network to Alaska's North Slope and engineering solutions for energy operations statewide. Details at gci.com/energy.
Taking a look at the Wrangell community calendar. Today at the Senior Center, they're closed for their regular schedule. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Call 907-874-2066 Tuesday through Friday to find out how the Wrangell Senior Center can help you out. State of Alaska Division of Investments is coming to Wrangell. If you're a small business, they have information on microloans, small business economic development, rural development initiatives, mariculture, commercial charter fisheries. And if you're a commercial fisher, Permit purchases, vessel purchases and upgrades, gear purchases and upgrades, engine fuel efficiency upgrades, product quality, improvements, quota share purchases, tax obligations. They'll be at City Hall Assembly Chambers Tuesday, May 21st at 9 a.m. and Wednesday, May 22nd at 9 a.m. and then again at 2 p.m. on those days. So Tuesday, May 21st and Wednesday, May 22nd, 9 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. Wrangell Public Schools will hold a regular school board meeting Monday, May 20th in Evergreen Elementary School, room 101, beginning at 6:30 p.m. A public hearing to collect input on student performance will precede the meeting beginning at 6 p.m. The agenda for the school board meeting will be available online. boarddocs.com/ak/wrangell/board.nsf. Water collected from the 10-mile pipe on May 6th was tested for coliforms. No coliforms or E. coli were detected during the test. If you would like more information, please contact the WCA Earth Branch Office, 907-874-4304. Find them on Facebook at WCA iGAP or email igaptech.wca@gmail.com. The next monthly sample will be taken the week of June 1st. Wrangell Cooperative Association Transportation is seeking 2 road trail maintenance laborers. Complete job descriptions and applications are available outside at the WCA office at 1002 Zamovia Highway. Contact Lizzie Romaine at 907-874-3077, 874-3077 with questions. Hi-X Construction, Inc. is hiring flaggers for 3 to 4 weeks for the Zamovia Highway Rock Fall Mitigation Project. The job starts May 27th. Send all inquiries and resumes to admin@hiexak.com. That's admin@hiexak.com or call 907-766-3408, 766-3408. Registration for the summer reading program is open, and the summer reading program will kick off May 28th at the Irene Engel Public Library. Muskeg Meadows is open for the season, and this weekend, May 24th, Friday, they'll have the Totem Bar and Liquor Friday night, 9-hole best ball starting at 5:30 p.m. Saturday, May 25th, they'll have the Totem Bar and Liquor Saturday morning, 9-hole best ball starting at 10 a.m. You can call 907-874-GOLF to find out more information. And Tuesday, May 21st and Wednesday, May 22nd, Muskeg Meadows Golf Course will hold a ladies golf clinic. Tuesday the 21st, Wednesday the 22nd, 5:30 p.m. each night. Ladies can sign up for one day or both, all skill levels welcome. Call or message Christy 907-305-1159 for more information. 305-1159. Parks and Rec Jiu-Jitsu and Open Gym Volleyball are back. Jiu-Jitsu, Monday and Wednesday evenings and Saturday morning. Open Gym Volleyball for ages 14 and up, Monday and Friday evenings. Contact Parks and Rec for details, 874-2444. Community potluck to welcome arrival of canoers will be May 28th at the Nolan Center. Food donations can be dropped off at 5:15 p.m. Dinner will be served at 6 p.m. Food donations and volunteers are still needed and very much appreciated. If you can help, call Danica Smalley, 907-470-4440, 470-4440, or Christy Jameson at 907-305-0117, 305-0117. And we just had our mid-May community market at the Nolan Center. So your next upcoming market will be June 15th. If you would like to reserve a table, you can email jarnold@wrangell.com or call 907-874-3770. Wrangell Senior Center Taco Picnic. They'll have halibut chicken or beef with a $5 suggested donation per meal. They'll be meeting at Shoemaker Park Wednesday, May 29th, 12 to 1 p.m. Please reserve your van ride in advance, 907-874-2066. During the regular assembly meeting Tuesday, May 28th, starting 6 p.m. in Wrangell Borough Assembly Chambers, there will be a public hearing, ordinance number 1056, amending section 11.04.020, titled Traffic Fine Schedule, Adoption of State Bail Forfeiture Schedules by Reference in the Wrangell Municipal Code. Alaska Sea Grant is holding a three-day onboard crew member training in Petersburg. They may be able to offer travel support. People will learn about basic crew skills, marine safety, and an introduction to boats. The course runs from June 1st to the 3rd. Contact Sunny Rice for more information at 907-772-3381 or email sunny.rice@alaska.edu. That's sunny.rice@alaska.edu. Your annual drinking water quality report is now available. Each year, the City and Borough of Wrangell's Water Department produces an annual drinking water quality report, also known as a consumer confidence report, created in accordance with state and federal regulations. If you would like a paper copy, you may pick one up at either City Hall or the Public Works Office. You can also find the 2023 CCR Annual Water Report online, wrangell.com, under the news section. City and Borough of Wrangell has quite a few job opportunities available. Head over online to wrangell.com/jobs to find out what employment opportunities are available for you with the City and Borough of Wrangell. wrangell.com/jobs. That's all the time we have for our community calendar. We'll have another reading this morning right after Swap and Sell at 9:45 a.m. and then again at 4:18 p.m. Synopsis for Southeast Alaska Interchannel's coastal waters. A low pushes toward the central panhandle from the northern Gulf while continuing to weaken Monday. Surface ridging builds in from the west starting Monday and remains in control of our weather ahead of another frontal system approaching for middle to late week. And taking a look at Frederick Sound, today south wind 15 knots, diminishing to 10 knots in the afternoon, seas 3 feet. Tonight south wind 10 knots, becoming northwest late, seas 2 feet or less. Tuesday, northwest wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Tuesday night, northwest wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Wednesday, south wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Thursday, west wind 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Friday, west wind 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Sumner Strait, today, south wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less, except 5 feet near ocean entrances. Tonight, west wind 10 knots in the evening, becoming light, seas 2 feet or less, except 5 feet near ocean entrances. Tuesday, northwest wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Tuesday night, west wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Wednesday, southwest wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Thursday, west wind 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Friday, west wind 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Clarence Strait, today, south wind 15 knots, diminishing to 10 knots. Seas 3 feet early in the morning, then 2 feet or less. Tonight, northwest wind 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Tuesday, northwest wind 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon. Seas 3 feet. Tuesday night, northwest wind 15 knots, seas 3 feet.